But as we've been talking about the importance of purpose, finding your purpose, and then locking into that purpose, because it is then when God gets the use that he wants to out of you, because he placed you on the earth for a purpose. And then one that we talked about, the one that we start and with and we focus on quite a bit is worship. You know, worship is our expression of our love to God. We were placed on this earth to be loved by God and then to return or reciprocate that love to him. And that's an amazing thing. We also was placed on earth to be a part of family. This is your church family. And the person sitting next to you is not just a church member. That's your family. Can you get a witness? Do me a favor. Look over at your neighbor and just say, what's up, family? See, y'all need to be praying for one another. That's fam. So you got them covered. You know, you're interceding for them. You know, you're praying for them. And whatever they're dealing with, you want to make sure you help them get through it, because when you help them, you help you. Man, I want all of you all to be successful in every aspect. I pray for you on a regular basis because I want God's will to be done in your life. So we are created for family. We also learn that not only are we family, but all of us have something to contribute. That what we contribute is called ministry. It's how we serve. We serve the body of Christ. We serve each other. And sometimes that role changes, because as my mom was growing up, she raised 9 children. That was her ministry. Her ministry was at home, raising us. What better ministry can you have than a mom that's praying for you, laying hands on you when you get out of trouble, get in trouble or get out of line? You know, she's cooking for you. Man, that's an important ministry. Sometimes we forget that home is an important ministry. Sometimes the children are the ones that suffer because, oh, God, that was not even my notes, but that parents get caught up in other things and not raising their children. Moving on, hallelujah. So there is service and ministry. They go hand in hand. I believe that all of us have a ministry. You know, that I sometimes say it like this, is all men are ministers. It's important. Men and women are ministers. It's important that you embrace that, because all of us have something to do. It may not look like mine. It may not look like Jesus, but it looks like ministry, and God has placed it on the inside of you. Then we recognize that God has established us for discipleship. Somebody say discipleship. Sometimes we don't talk about that enough, but discipleship is what I see when I see the young people today. I see many of them today, and I see something on the inside of them when I see them go forth. Next Sunday will be Youth Sunday, and I always get excited about our youth, because they're the ones that God has placed next to us to enable the church to move forward, because one group is going off the scene, but that doesn't stop the kingdom of God. When I see children up here, it's like, God, you know, you're going to be using them in an amazing way. You already are, but there's so much more you're going to be doing in them. May I be an example. May they watch our lifestyle, see what we're doing, and want to emulate that. Are you with me today? Very important, because discipleship, you're having someone walk with you. Jesus was big. In fact, all of us are Christ followers, is another word for disciples. Not just church members, not just bench members, not just people that show up and give, but I am a Christ follower. Are you with me today? And that's important for us to know. I didn't just come to say I was there, but no, God, I want to follow Christ in such a way that I do what he does, say what he says, lay hands on the sick like he did, because the works that he did, I want to do, and greater works. Why? Because he went to the Father and the Holy Spirit came to fill me. Are you with me today? It's very important. Go and give him praise for that. He's a good God. And then finally, we are created for evangelism. What is evangelism? And sometimes that seems like a big word, but it's a word that simply means to share the gospel, to share the good news. And when the church becomes silent when it comes to sharing God's goodness and God's good news, then we have a problem. The church was never supposed to be silent. We're always supposed to be filled with God's purpose and in our hearts and in our mouths. You know, in fact, if we say, well, I don't know what to say, the Bible says in that very same hour, he will fill you, your mouth, with what to say. Are you with me today? I want to be louder than I've ever been before. I want to praise louder than I've ever been before. I want to proclaim louder than I've ever been before, because we've got the message, not CNN, not BBC, not Fox News, but we've got the message. Somebody say amen in this house. I'll not be ashamed to proclaim God's word. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to know that it's important that we walk in that boldness. And that's one thing that I want God to do even greater. God, I want a greater boldness. And I know that boldness comes from being in your presence, because even when they talked to Jesus along the way and something happened, they said, wow, these men were ignorant and unlearned. Now all of a sudden they're bold and speaking the word of God. They said, well, what's going on? These men have been with Jesus. If this church walks with Jesus, man, we will be so full of fire, energized, full of power, and God will do such an amazing work. I want to be that, have that testimony. We have been with Jesus. Somebody give God a shout in this place. Hallelujah. So when I look at this and recognize that many of us have found our purpose, and many of us have rediscovered our purpose, which is a good thing, you know, we have another step to it, because it's not enough just to know your purpose, but now you need to say yes to your purpose. How many of you all know that sometimes people, they get all the teaching, and then they don't want to do what they've been taught? But now that you have found your purpose, that it's time for us to do what God places on the earth to do. The Bible says this too. I love this passage. It says, he says, for whom much is given, much is required. Then he goes on and says, remember to him that knoweth to do good, but don't do it, to him it is a sin. In other words, you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark, because if you're not doing what you know he's called you to do, I said, God, I want to do all that you've placed me on the earth to do. If you've placed me here to worship you, then I want to worship you. Fellowship, I want to fellowship. I want to be discipled and disciple others. I want to teach the word of God. Are you with me today? He's placed us on earth. And guess what? We need to take full opportunity of the time that he's given us. Are you with me today? Thank you, Jesus. So now let me get going in this message. Hallelujah. I'm already fired up. Give me one more praise. We love you, Lord. We give you glory, God. So let me read this scripture. This scripture in the book of Matthew 4 and 18. It'll be talking about, you know, being all in, you know, is simply a choice. And it's important that we know that we're all in and we make that choice. This scripture says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. And I want you to notice the fact that he did see. He saw. In other words, he was looking for someone. And he didn't go to the church when he was looking. And y'all, the synagogue. But he went to the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers. Their names was Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And they were throwing in a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Point I also want to make here. He not only didn't go to a religious location, but he also found people that were working. Do I need to go over that again? He found somebody that was doing something, not sitting down doing nothing. I think there's a reason for that. Hallelujah. So therefore, he says, these two individuals that he found happened to be brothers. They were fishermen, and they did this for a living. And then the 19th verse says, Jesus called out to them, and he says to them in a simple way, he says, you know, and there are three actual statements that he makes within this statement. He says, come, follow me, and he says, I will help me out. I will show you how to. You're doing work to make your living, he says, but I want to place you in a place where you will impact people for eternity. How many of you all want to get in a place where you can impact people for an eternity beyond simply making a living? Thank you, Jesus. 20th and final verse, it says, and they left their nets at once. If you're King James Version people, it says immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Now, how many know this is an amazing walk of faith? You just drop what you were doing and say, okay, God, you say follow me, I'm there. They left their nets and they followed. I want to talk about, you know, today, a subject, all in. Say that with me. All in. As we pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your kindness. We bless you. We honor you. No one can do us like you can. May you speak to us, because someone is placing a demand upon the anointing today. Just like the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she placed an anointing by touching the very hem of Jesus' garment. I pray today that every need is met. I pray today that through the Holy Spirit, God, that someone's enlightened, that someone's fired up, that someone's encouraged to do exactly what you've placed them on the earth to do. Now speak to your servant today, we pray in Jesus' name. And if he's been good to you, come on, give him your best praise right where you are. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Father. We bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus. As I talk about being all in, you know, Pastor Matthew, and some are wondering, well, where did you go? We went to South Africa. Pastor Matthew, the one that spoke here, I call him the wild man, you know, because he's so on 10. And he's not just went on 10 here. Everywhere he goes, he's on 10, shouting and screaming, talking about Jesus. And sometimes embarrassing, it's all loud. But we be in the we were in the restaurant, and they was singing praise and worship loud. And I'm thinking like, there's other people want to eat. I'm not suggesting that you all do that, but I was like, okay. But there are some people that are on 10 with what they believe, and they want to share that, and they're all in. And I believe that many of us, when we first got saved, we were more fired up than we are now. Can I get a witness? I believe the church needs to get reignited, if you will. There needs to be a fire set on the inside of us that burns so bright that the world will come and say, what's going on over there? There's something about those people, and they're not playing. They're not going through the motions, but they believe that there is a reality in serving Jesus Christ. If you're with me today, give God a shout in this place that we would rise up in this last hour. Hallelujah. And so many times it's because we're not totally in, and when Pastor Matthew says, because I've been asked to travel so many times, and people have seen prophecy and so forth and so on, and I said, I don't go, but when he called me and said he wanted me to come, there was something different about it, and so I told my wife, I said, honey, I'd really like for you to go, and, you know, she was like, you know, tell me a little bit about it, where you going to be going. I said, well, I really don't know, I just know it's South Africa. Said, well, what dates? Well, I really don't exactly know the dates either, but we're going to be going there. She says, well, have you made plane reservations? I said, well, no, not really. And she had been on other trips with me where we went to other countries, Trinidad and some other places, and preached in Europe and some other places. And she knows my kind of how I do. And she was like saying, well, you know, I said, honey, are you going? She says, nah, I'm not going. And I'm thinking like, well, why not? I want you to go. And she wanted to ask me some more questions, and I said, well, I don't know the answer to that either. You know, I just go. And she says, well, I'm not going, don't ask me no more. Then all of a sudden, God touches her heart, because I really wanted to go for several reasons, but I wanted her to really go. So finally, God touches her heart. She comes to me in the hallway, and I don't know what day it was, but she says, okay, honey. I prayed about it, and I'm going to go. I'm all in. I was like saying, yes. I didn't tell her yes. I'm not real big. I was like, so, okay, I might have to think about this. But inside I was saying, yes. Why? Because she has a different skill set than mine. God has created her so differently than he's created me. But we complement each other so well, because she says, well, do you have your passports ready? I said, I don't even know where the passport is. She says, have you made plane reservations? I said, no. She said, well, do you know what the pastor's name is that you're going to be preaching for? I just know that it's in South Africa. Can you believe that? But when she said she was all in, she started getting all that stuff together. I was so thankful, because when you've got people doing what they're called to do, they do it so well, and you can do what you're supposed to do. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah in the house. So I believe the Lord is looking for people that he's placed on this earth, and he's placed purpose on the inside of them to come forth and do what he's called them to do. And your calling may be different than mine, but it's necessary in the body of Christ. Somebody give God a shout in this place. So the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He says, I'm just looking for someone that has a heart that's fully committed to me. And when she said all in, I said, oh, we're going to have a good time now. And I don't have to worry about this. Don't have to worry about that. Why? Because we all in. What if all of us would get all in doing what God called us to do? You talk about being fired up. We would without a doubt. Hallelujah. So, and the Lord is looking. He's looking. He's looking. His eyes are looking for someone and that their whole heart is bent and fully committed to him. And in this last day, it's, a lot of people are not committed to the things of God. Woo, hallelujah. They're committed to some things, but when it comes to Christ, you know, it's really marginal, the commitment. And I said, God, I don't want to be marginally committed to you. I want to be fully committed. I want you to see, because that's who he's looking for. Thank you, God. That's why I wrote down for this very first point is this. The Lord searches our hearts, and he sees past our surface, and he sees our potential. So let me see if I can say it again. The Lord searches our hearts because he knows what is in the heart, because he doesn't necessarily go for the religious individuals, he doesn't necessarily go for those that are, you know, have the highest IQ, but he chooses people that have a heart that can be fully committed to him. Are you with me today? And I know that busts some bubbles, because that means that he didn't choose me because of my IQ. He didn't choose me because of my good looks. He didn't choose me because I was so smart or had so much knowledge about how things should go. He chooses the simple things and to confound the wise. Man, that's an awesome God. So he searches our hearts. And that's why I don't trip when some people do wrong, but they've got a good heart, and God works with those individuals and says, I see your heart, and I know how to work past the surface, because the surface got some issues, but I know there's potential down on the inside of you. Somebody give him a praise in this place. Woo! Because this outside can be painted up. And there are a lot of people that do a whole lot to the outside to make you think that their heart is right, but man, you got to look past the outside. Are you with me today? Because the outside can get us in trouble. That's why I love that song that says, you saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. How many of you all can sing that song? That he saw the best in us. When everybody around said, well, look at his faults, God says, no, I see potential on the inside of him. Father, thank you for seeing potential in me when I was messed up on the outside. Thank you, God, for loving me when I didn't have it together. Thank you, God, for having grace and mercy upon me when I didn't deserve it. Lord, I thank you for pouring into me and speaking into me. Somebody give him a shout in this house. Give him a real big one. He's a good guy. That's why I tell people, don't kick the drunk out. Don't kick the one out that's struggling with getting high. Don't kick him out just yet, because he may have a heart. Because remember, God didn't go to the synagogue to get somebody. He went to the bank so he could fish him. Somebody that was working. They had some issues, but God still saw something on the inside of them. I tell you what, if you really want a revival to break out, let somebody know where they came from. Let them open their mouth and say, God has done great things for me, because he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. He brought me from a mighty long way. I used to be messed up, but look at me now. God did amazing work. Somebody give him a shout in this house. He sees our heart past the surface, and he sees our potential. Do me a favor, witness with neighbor, and say, neighbor, you've got potential. I don't see it, but no. Witness to one more and say, you've got potential. Well, can I describe the word potential to you? Potential is capacity. You know, you've got the capacity to do great things. Potential also is another word for there's possibility on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. There's a possibility. When I look around the room, man, I see possibility. Potential is also a word for power. I'm an electrician, and sometimes when we would read schematics and wiring diagrams, they would have the wire and the ladder schematic going to a place called the potential, and they would talk about the voltage at that potential. It means that's where it's getting its power. Why do you have power? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And when God is on the inside of you, great things happen. Can I get a witness? Another definition for potential is latent ability. Latent means it's not right now. But the ability is there. And I know some people, I see some people, have you ever just looked at people and said, man, there's greatness inside of you. If you would just submit yourself to God, God could use you in such an amazing way. So it means latent ability. And he saw the potential in us. So the Bible says that as he was walking, he saw. He saw. And when I think about him seeing, I think about my life, and I think about, you know, what he saw when other people couldn't see. And when I look out there, and I know many of us struggle, and even some of my friends in other nations had struggled with how God saw them versus how they see themselves and how others see them. Therefore, I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. And when you get that in your heart, something happens. You begin to say, yes, I can. I can do it with the help of God. So therefore, God, let your Holy Spirit fill me, especially in this last hour. Somebody give him one more praise. So I go to the next part of this. Thank you, God. Here's what he says. He says, when he saw them walking, he says to them, when he saw them, he saw something in them, and he saw Peter and Andrew throwing their nets into the water, for they fished for a living. This was their income. Look at this next verse, the 19th verse, because Jesus speaks to them, and he says to them, Jesus called out to them. Look what he says. Come. Come is a verb. Come is a verb that says move closer. If I say come, that means I want you to come closer. Get up from where you are and move closer. Do you know that the scripture says draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you? In other words, draw closer to God because he wants to draw closer to you. I believe that without a doubt that God wants to draw closer to his church than ever before. He says come. What does he say? Jesus calls out to them. He says, come. Now, understand this. When you hear someone use the word come, you want to know, you know, what you want. If somebody tells me to come, I'm like, okay, what you want? What you up to? If long time ago, he'd be saying, what you talking about, Willis? So he says to them, come, and that's an open invitation. It's like, you know, I have something I want you to do. I don't want you to come closer to me. Now, I know a lot of people, when they hear that term, come, they want to run the other way, especially if it's God talking. I know about it because God has spoke to me a long time ago, and man, I wasn't trying to have it, wasn't trying to hear it. I remember the preacher was preaching one time in a revival, and he talked about, you know, if you don't give your heart to God, you're going to burn, bust hell wide open. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know I said, I don't want to do that, so Lord, give me, I want to get saved. That's one way to manipulate somebody to give their heart to God. They said, well, it's true, but I tell you what, it wasn't lasting. Can I just be real in the house? It didn't last. I tried, and then I remember one day, you know, I told my dad, I said, you know, because I was actually acting bad, and in school, I was about, you know, maybe 11. And my dad, he said, son, you know, what's going on? He says, you're a saved young man. You're supposed to do. He said, and I said, dad, well, actually, I really didn't. That was in the past. I'm not saved no more. I don't want to be saved. I just want to do my thing for a while. I remember my dad, I'll never forget his words of wisdom. He said, son, go get me a switch. He said, I'm going to see if I can help you live right. By the time I was done, I said, oh, Jesus, hallelujah, save me, Lord. But that wasn't a strong commitment either. That was just for a minute till that was over. But I remember when I myself decided that, God, I really want to live for you. I said, God, if you let me clown or just let me do my thing until I get 18. I'm not sure if you've ever made deals with God before. But I was talking to him. I knew he heard me, and I was listening to him too. He says, I want to use you now. Remember my now my thy creator in the days of thy youth, because evil days are coming. I said, Lord, but just let me just clock. Because when they get saved, they don't even look happy in the church. They don't look like they're enjoying their life with God. You know, they just don't look like they're enjoying this. They say, can't do nothing, can't listen to no music, can't go to no party, you can't do nothing no more. So before I die, at least let me live in this a little while. I wish I had had a church that recognized there's joy in serving God, and that there's freedom in serving God, and that you can bless God in a way, in your own way. Woo, hallelujah. So when I got 18, when I became 18 years old, I said, God, you know, you blessed me. Because they told me so long. I'm just, did my testimony. They said, for so long, because I acted so clown so much. They said, boy, you know, the scripture says, honor thy mother and thy father, that the days might be long on the earth. And I doubt if you live long, because you sure don't obey. So when I got to be 18, I was like saying, Father, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, because I really didn't expect to see 18. And then I said, God, I want to live for you. I remember changing my whole life. I remember stop hanging out with the guys I used to hang out with. I remember stop, you know, I won't tell you too much what I stopped, but I stopped some other things. Why? Because I said, God, I want to live for you. I had a Jerry curl at the time. I cut my Jerry curl off. Why? Because I didn't want anything to distract me. And I thought, you know, I thought I was cool at the time, you know, Jerry curl and musician in the church. And, you know, it's like, man, hey. And then I said, God, I want to live for you. And I start fasting and praying and seeking God's face. There was an all-in moment that I said, I'm not doing this for mama anymore. I'm not doing this for daddy anymore. I'm not doing this because I've been forced to, but God, I really want to live for you. And since I've made my decision to be all in, I want to go hard for you. Am I by myself? I want to go hard for you, God. Remember my brother and I, you know, we would preach on the street corner, 18 years old, committing ourselves to God, witnessing to people, giving people tracts, going out saying, if you don't know Jesus, you need to get to know him. How many know it's time for us, the church, to rise back and begin to tell the world about Jesus? Somebody give him a real good shout in this house. Hallelujah. So Jesus called him, he said, come is such an open word. I don't know where I'm going, but come. You know, I don't know what adventure I'm going to have, but come. It's almost like you signed this contract, and the contract is blank. No, I need to know, Lord. Then he says, not only come, he says, follow me. Now, if somebody asks you to follow them, your first question is, how many of you know that sometimes God takes you places that you don't even know where you're going? But you know he's all in it. Come, Andrew, come, Peter, come, Jerry Wayne. And I tell you what, when he says those things, oftentimes we don't want to adhere to his voice. I remember when he called me to ministry. Man, that was the last thing. I don't know why we fight so much. And so just want to let you know, am I the only one that struggles when God began to speak to you? When he began to speak, I'm like saying, God, you know, I ain't trying to hear this right now. I got stuff to do, you know. Because after you get saved, you think, that's good. I'm saved now. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus says, no, I got a purpose for you. I remember when he called me to ministry, I think I was like maybe 22. And I just remember that I was, there was this sickness over my body. And God didn't do it, but there was a sickness over my body. I had fever that was tremendously high. And while I had this fever, you know, I was praying, saying, God, you know, touch my life. Even when you're out of God's will, you're still praying. And I remember my wife came in giving me aspirins and stuff. You got a fever, you need to take this. And I looked at her and I said, Jesus, you know, aspirin can't fix this. I already know. And that night, I got up with, I think fever was like 103 103, 104. Made my way to church, and when I got there, you know, I came from the back of the sanctuary to the front, and I just fell down and said, God, you know, your will be done in my life. Do you know that fever lifted? I believe right now, hear me on this before you clap. I believe that many people are in situations because they won't submit to God's will. I'm preaching today, whether you say amen or not. I believe that you leave openings for the enemy to come in when you say no to God's will. Are you all with me today? That was worth coming by itself. When you say, I'm going to do it my own way, that opens up the door for the enemy to come in, because he knows that you're out of God's plan and out of God's will. You've just been doing it by grace. But I want you to know that sometimes you put yourself in a position. But when I said yes to God's will, man, seemed like heaven opened, no more fever. And then they said, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong now. Check my temperature, because God knows how to lift even those dark things. The enemy tried to kill you, but God opened the door, made a way, and healed your body. Remember when I was a few years older than that, he called me to the pastorate, and man, you know, these guys, the Bible said that they left their jobs, that this was their job. He says, come and follow me, and you would say, well, how much you paying, God? I'm just being real. I got two children right now, you know, and a wife that don't mind shopping. You know, I'm just saying, kids like to eat, Lord. Y'all looking, I'm all right. I may not be, hallelujah. But I'm saying, God, you know, how you going to do this? What you own, God? Talk to me. And God just says, come and follow me. And he says, if you do that, I will show you how to fish for people. Something way more important than just fishing, just feeding them. And can I share this with you? When we were in South Africa, they came, asked us to come. But this was not the regular mission. And I just want you to know that, because all missions aren't the same. I was called to preach, and I preached in several areas and in more than one country, but that wasn't the gist of all that they wanted to do. They didn't want me to build any shanties or any houses or things for girls. They actually called me because they said that we see something at your church, at Abundant Faith, that you've done for affordable housing and for the credit union and for things like, you know, helping people get jobs, because we employ people as well, you know. I mean, throughout the different organizations. And they said, we want to bring that, because we don't want just people to come drop off food and then leave us, or drop off some money, because that short laugh. Do you know that they said that the unemployment rate was like between 27 and 50%? They said, will you help us to establish businesses? Will you help us to establish housing and how we can build? And I was like saying, man, I would be more than happy to show you what I know, but I got to let you know that everything I know is, and everything that we've done, is only because God has given us the grace to do it. Somebody give God real good praise. Only because God has given us the grace to do it. And because we listened to him when he said, come and follow me, we said, God, is this the way you want me? And sometimes you get off and he says, oh, I'm over here. And then we have to get realign ourselves with him. But he says, if you come and if you follow me, I will show you how to fish for people. In other words, I'm going to tap into the potential that's down on the inside of you. My next question is that people ask, well, how do we get to that potential? That's that next point, you know, because they say, well, God, I know that there's something great on the inside of me. I know that there's potential on the inside of me. I know, God, that you've called me to great things, but how do I get from where I am to where you want me to be? How do I get from this place of where my gift is not operating? How do I get to a place of where I can operate in the very anointing and the place that you've called me to be, at that place where you can use me? Wow. Can I let you know first, and this is not in the notes, but I want you to take this note, there are no shortcuts. Sometimes I wish there was a shortcut, but there are no shortcuts. And I tell people all the time that even when it comes to health, you know, a lot of times we want to do a whole lot of shortcuts. They say, you know, you need to lose, I'm just saying this, lose so many pounds because I've been there before. You need to lose about 50. I said, well, let me see if I can, what if I just get a shortcut? They got some, what kind of shortcuts? Let me look on Google for shortcuts for losing weight. How many of you know those shortcuts don't work? They may work for a minute, but then, man, you know, they say, well, then some of the guys, they say, well, I want a six-pack. You know, how many know you can't, there's no shortcut to six-pack? You're going to do some crunches and do two or three of them, then look in the mirror with your chest up. Going to take more than that. Can I get a witness? Am I doing okay? And then some people want a shortcut. They got the whole thing where I saw it on Amazon the other day, and it had that where you just, if you want to look like you got a six-pack, they buy them, and you stick it up under your shirt, and you walk around. I'm going to move on, but it's, some got the tuck and push it into different places. The sisters, I know they want to have, you know, they want to have junk in their trunk. So they go buy some junk. I'm just saying, but there are no shortcuts. Some people want to come to church and want you to wave a magic wand over them on the altar and say, I'll never smoke dope again. We can pray for you, but you've got to make up in your mind that I'm going to walk with Jesus every day. Are you with me? There are no shortcuts. Somebody give God praise in this house. Oh, my God, I feel his anointing. Some people want an anointing, but you don't pray. You don't read your Bible. There are no, somebody, if you know what I'm talking about, give him a shout in this house. People see what Pastor Cho has done and impacted the entire world. But people don't recognize it. Before he leaves the house, he prays for some four hours before he leaves. Some say, well, how can you take that much time to pray? And when you're doing so much, sometimes, you know, you're too busy not to pray. The Bible says that my church shall be called the house of what? So we've got to pray. We can't be a church that says we're going to operate in power, but there is no time for prayer. Prayer must be essential in the very life of the church and the life of the believer. Somebody give God one more praise. He's worthy of it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So how do we get there? Thank you, Lord. He says one is that you've got to be willing to come. And I said it like this. I said we must accept Jesus' invitation to a journey of faith. When he says come, what must our response be? We can either say yes or no. No is going to get us in trouble. Because when you say no to God, that's our next point. You can put that one up there when they get it. It's going to get us in trouble. So therefore, we must, without a doubt, accept Jesus' invitation to a what? What does faith mean? That faith means that I don't see the outcome, but I've got to believe you. I've got to trust you, God. And sometimes when I see that these men of God were so willing to say, immediately, the Bible says that immediately or they, without hesitation, at once left their nets, left what they were doing to generate income and said, God, I'm going after you. Now, man, it got quiet in the house on that one. Often thought, God, what if you took me to the nations and what if you, you know, took me to this country or that country, you know, would I say yes? And, you know, some years later, I know there's no shortcuts, but, man, I tell you what, some years later, I said, Father, thank you for your plan and purpose for my life. I think I'm at the place where I say, God, your will be done in my life and not mine. I'm no longer trying to just make my life about me, but I want to make it about your purpose and your plan. Jesus himself, at one point, it was getting tough on him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he sweat like great drops of blood. And then finally, the Bible says he went a little farther, fell on his face, and said, not my will, but your will be done. I want to ask the question, my friends. Are you at the place now where you can say, not my will, but your will be done? God is bringing us to that place, but there is a process. Somebody say with me, there's a process? How many of you all believe there's a process? Now, in the natural, when it comes to abs, you know, you've got to do some crunches or something. You got to move something. When it comes to muscles, if you want some biceps, you got to do some push-ups or something. And sometimes they get hard. And the harder they are, the more it's building muscles. Thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all under some stuff right now. But when you get done with it, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. The devil's not going to be able to exert any authority over you. Why? Because I've been through the storm and the rain, and I've come out better than I went in. Somebody give God praise. He's a good God. But I accept Jesus' invitation to the journey of faith. Well, the first thing I got to do, I got to listen to him, and I got to say, I'm coming. That's a yes, right? I'm saying yes to God's will. How many of you all need to say yes to something? Something. I ain't raising my hand up in this church right now. You're going to volunteer me for something. You got to say yes to his will. That means he wants you to draw near. Comes means to move nearer to me, move closer to me. He is saying coming. And then we've got to follow. He says follow me, not anything. And some of us are guilty of following the world. The scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to be renewed. And let me share this, folks. I have to work on me because when I'm not careful, man, I will get caught up in the world's thinking. Man, the world tells me that, and I'm just sharing this with you all. The world tells me that at a certain age, Jerry Wayne, you're supposed to retire. And God says, when did I tell you that you're supposed to retire? Now, understand, I won't always be the senior pastor, but there's always work in the kingdom for me to do. Somebody give God praise in this house. Woo! As long as there's breath in your body, why wouldn't you use it for the kingdom? As long as you've got a word that God has given you, why don't you share it with somebody? There's too many people dying and going to hell for you worried about yourself. Somebody give God a shout in this house. Follow me. Then he says, I will make you fishers of people. I want to do a work. If you come, if you follow me, I will do a work. Now, I want you to grasp this because I happen to do some reading, and I'm trying to wrap this up, but you all know I'm a little fired up, just a little bit. But when I look at this and think that they didn't know where God was going to take them, where Jesus was going to take them, he took them around. So Gary, I used this morning, you know, one of the young guys, come, one of the Lamphere guy. He said, Pastor, man, I'm gonna get the name right too. Don't tell me, Jalen. Got it. So now that I got your name right, you gotta work with me here. Y'all put your hands together for Jalen. How old are you, Jalen? 14 years old. God has given us to be that example, and Jesus is our example, and Christ said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he says, come, and he doesn't know where I'm going, but Jalen, you got to follow me. Come. Jalen didn't ask anything. He just started walking, right? I had to tell him twice, though. But then he says, follow me. Jalen didn't say, well, where are we going, Pastor? Just follow, dude. Just follow. Just, I'm going to cast out demons. And all you need to do is follow me. Because he sees what I'm doing. I'm going to speak to the storm. Because there are going to be storms in our lives. And all he didn't get shook up. Jesus, he looked at the storm and said, peace be still. He saw a demon. Demon tried to raise his ugly head up. He said, come out, I command you. He's seeing all this. And he's saying, well, wow, if God did it for him, he'll do it for me. And he's being discipled. And now when he comes forth, his muscles are going to begin to build. Jalen going to get strong. Next thing you know, you can sit down, Jalen. But Jalen's going to be walking in authority. Jalen's going to be walking in power. Why? Because God says, all you got to do is come, follow me, and I'll do the work. You open your mouth, I'll speak for you. I want you to know it's Christ on the inside of you. That's the hope of glory. Give God a shout. Woo! Y'all can stand on your feet. You can stand on your feet. I got to let you go. Somebody give him a praise in the house. Give him a praise in this house. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory, God. We honor you, Father. But here's what he says. He says, come, follow me. I will make you what? D says you got to do this last thing. You got to. Y'all said, Pastor, why we got to leave on this note? Some of us are self-focused, self-absorbed. And I got to admit the fact that I was too. I was thinking about me. When God called me, I was thinking about selfish things. How can I get more of this? How can I accomplish this in my, how, what? Man, and God says, wait a minute, I got so much more for you. I end on this point. Thank you, God. When you follow him, you will never regret one day of doing what God has called you to do. You may have some challenging days, some ups and downs, but when you look back, you say, Father, thank you for how far you've brought me. Thank you for how you've opened doors. Thank you for how you've made ways. Somebody give him praises, we pray.